Our team will maybe chant first, and then I wanted to speak a little bit following Mangala's very nice narration. I'm wondering, Munishvara Hari, I think you can. Kannst du alles finden auf dem Monitor?
Ich kann es versuchen.
Ja. Wir können eine einfache, aber eine bekannte Melodie, dass man sich so durch. Verstehe. Du bist doch im Grunde genommen. Ja, also wenn ich dich bitten darf, mit der Hand zu spielen. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, 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 Hare Hare,
I'm Who does not understand English? Can you maybe raise your hand? Du verstehst auch Englisch, oder? I think everyone. Barmini, gar kein Problem, oder? Sorry, dass ich dich jetzt raushol. Du bist ja international. Webartistin. Also, klar. Yes, not always easy to make the decision. Wie bitte?
Ich kann übersetzen mit Englisch.
Mit Deutsch und Englisch, meinst du?
Achso, wenn dann Englisch spricht,
muss man. Ja. Ich dachte, because you are quite fluent, I believe, everyone. We have a guest. Darf ich, ich weiß, dass du als Muttersprache, glaube ich, Serbisch
ja,
sprichst.
Okay, super, alles Englisch.
Super ist Englisch und wie ist es mit Deutsch?
Auch.
Oh, alles. Ein multilingual Talent. I think because this will be recorded and it might be put into the net, I will just speak in English. I very much appreciated Mandela's rendition of this Leela, and as she was talking about this very blissful Leela, I was thinking how I could explain something which is of value for everyone and which sheds a light on Braj Leela in general. In all religions, the supreme Purusha is always the winner of everything. Krishna can never be defeated. That is one of his definitions, that he has all strengths. There's nothing and no one more strength. strong. The greatest, the most influential people of this world, who have the greatest imaginable powers and also physical strengths, are defeated by a mere aspect of Krishna, the time factor. Muhammad Ali, the most famous American, who died a little more than, I think, 2 weeks ago or 1.5 weeks ago, and he was saying of himself to be the greatest boxer of all times, expressed this very nicely. He said, I say of myself I'm the greatest, and people have repeated this, but of course I know that it is Allah who is the greatest. Of course I know. And because I serve Him, therefore I'm the greatest boxer. I am protected by Allah. He was had a lot of self-confidence, let us say it like this. But even toward the end of his life, when he was not so young any longer, he said, maybe I said too often I'm the greatest, because now my Lord has sent me the Parkinson disease, and I waste away every day. He was a very religious person, a little bit self-confident, but he understood, maybe I said it too often, and therefore the greatest has sent me this to teach me, has sent me this Parkinson disease. Because, so in all religions it is understood that God is has immeasurable strength, but we find here that he is lying on the ground, on the earth of a rangamandala, in a fighting arena, defeated by his devotee. He has to beat on the ground. Stop, you won. What does this show? It shows that the Lord is conquered by love. Once Krishna took on the disguise of an angel, of a Gandharva, female Gandharva, and came before Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. This was a very, very beautiful female angel. If God decides to appear as a Gandharva, that's a Sanskrit word for angel, he's the most beautiful angel. And but he pretended to be very, very shy and withdrawn. Radha asked one of her girlfriends, who is she? She looks so beautiful that she attracts my heart by her effulgence. And they went, her girlfriends went to that Gandharva, who sat a little absent at the sight of everyone else, and asked, could you please come to our mistress, Sri Radha? She wants to get to know you. This was exactly what Krishna had in mind, and he was led in Radha's presence. And Radha said, who are you? In a very honey sweet voice, pretending to be a female, the Lord answered, I am a Gandharva who has come from the upper planets with a question. Oh, you please sit close. I will answer your question, but first let me embrace you as ladies do other ladies. No, I feel extremely shy. And first I'll answer my question. Said Krishna, who was in disguise? Nada Gandhava spoke. We, the higher beings, have seen the pastimes of you and Krishna in this land of Vrindavan. And certainly these pastimes, like when you dance, your rasa dance, is highly enchanting. But there's something I just can't understand, and it gives me great pain in my heart. Radha said, yes, you look very morose. You look morose, dejected, verzweifelt. It is this, you are so good and Krishna is so bad. But still, you have association with Krishna. Krishna has often deserted you gopis, like when he did in the Rasa dance, and he left the company of all of you, pretending that he wanted to be together with you, Radha, only. But then, he cruelly left you also, and you appeared like a lightning flash who had fallen from a cloud on the ground, and he made you cry so many tears. And then Krishna spoke many incidents for Philip, where he had apparently disappeared from his devotees and made them cry. Radha became impatient and said, I'm finished. No, I'm not finished. And the Gandhava said another apparent discretion of Krishna. And how, if even from his childhood, this person steals. He's a criminal. It is known very much that his mother did all efforts to supply butter and milk products to him, but he always went stealing in the houses of other gopis. He milked the cows before the time of milking, so that later the cows were empty of milk. He pinched the babies and made them cry. Sometimes he urinates on the floor of the Brajabasis. How can you, the best of the best, the darling daughter of King Vrishabhanu, stay together with such a rake? I'm finished, said Radha. No, I'm not finished. When Krishna was finished, Radha said, listen, you don't know anything of love. And she began to explain that these sometimes rough dealings, like we have heard today, there was an actual wrestling match, you know, throwing each other on the ground and sitting on the chest of each other, pressing the shoulders on the ground. These rough dealings which are in Braj are only there to increase the loving dealings. It's almost like one friend may see another friend and then give him a slap on the back, which is not a violent slap, it's a loving expression of friendship. Do you have this amongst me? We do. Or they embrace, but while they embrace one friend, we may embrace extra hard. And the other says, but appreciates the embrace of his friends more than if it is just a small embrace. No, we have this, no? So the apparent rough dealings in Braj are are there to enhance the love. And this is what Radhat explained in a beautiful solecule. Solecule is like an Ansprache of love. You can find it in the work Prema Samputa. And she opened the box of her heart and talked about this. Then she said, you must know, Radha and Krishna are like one flame burning from two ghee wicks. We are one. And when the powerful lion of love ascends the throne of our hearts, very poetic, the powerful lion of love ascends the throne of love, that is the highest expression of love. Hare Krishna. Oh, said the Gandhava. But you say, I have another question. You say, Krishna, you are one, but you are here and Krishna is not here. Where is Krishna if you and him are one? In my heart, said Radha. Theory, said Krishna. I believe only that Radha and Krishna are one if you bring Krishna here. And Radharani said, Tatastu. She sat down and in her heart very lovingly meditated about Krishna, called him there. This was such a loving call that Krishna could not keep his disguise any longer. He quickly changed from Gandharvini, I know this is not a proper Sanskrit word, but he would say in German, Gandharvini, a female Gandhava. He quickly changed himself to his original Syamsunda form. When Radha and the gopis opened their eyes, Krishna stood there with a yellow dhoti, Vajrajati mala, curly hair, and a most enchanting smile. Said, I have come. And the other gopis said, oh, what are you doing here in our room? You're in our circle. Said, you have called me. I'm here by permission. Then they all said, but where's the Gandharva? Oh, said Krishna, I saw her running away. So in this Prema Samputa, something is explained about the amazing love of Godhead. But in the Bhagavatam, this point is really made very, very, very clear by what we can call a reversal of role. I take this point from a wonderful lecture which Toshita Krishna and Mangala sent the link to me, which a devotee called Radhika Raman, a wonderful devotee, gave. And I would like to elaborate a little bit on this. See, in the Bhagavatam, we hear what we have now looked upon, that is how the Lord who always wins is defeated. And the devotee seems to take on the other hand. This we see many examples of these reversals of role, which point in the Bhagavatam to one wonderful secret, is that bhakti, when someone has bhakti in his heart or love of Godhead, then everything changes. And the ultimate end, God becomes controlled, the ultimate controller. This Bhagavatam, in comparison to all other Vaishnava's Puranas is really very, very clear in explaining only bhakti, makes the devotee cross conventional religion and conventional roles in religion. For instance, in Vedic tradition, kings, the brahmanas are spiritually still higher than kings, but there is the king, and it is said for spiritual people, they don't like to see kings because of their involvement in politics, and they often are married to not one wife but many wives, and they are increasing the wealth of the country. In other words, because kings are seen to be associated more with material things and the brahmanas more with spiritual things, the brahmanas are always considered to be superior, and they are considered to be advisors of kings. When kings don't follow them, brahmanas can sometimes remove the king, as we can have seen. In the Bhagavatam, we find that a devoted king who has bhakti is much, much superior to even the greatest brahmana and yogi in all existence. Who could that be? I'm thinking of Maharaj Ambarish, who defeated the great Brahmin Durvasa Muni. But Yudhishthira certainly, but I think Yudhishthira is known as Dhammaraj, and he followed always the conventional Dharma that is more strange. So Ambarish would be maybe a better example. Children in the Vedic times always have to follow their parents. Always. Still, when we preach in India and the parents say to some boy, marry, they have to marry the parent, and mostly the person who's chosen by the parents. This is how much in the Indian Vedic Hindu arena of religiosity, parents are over the children. But a child who had love was not only disobeying his father, but clearly showing his superior role. Who could be that child? What could be that reversal of roles? Prahlad, yes. He began to even instruct his father. I told him many, many, many instructions from Prahlad Maharaj. This is unthinkable, but it shows how bhakti is reversing roles and makes everything, and the bhakta is on the highest place. In Vedic civilization, the wives have to always follow their husbands. Oh. And when the husband dies, the women feel bereft of their husband and without any further use. They cannot serve their husband, and then they ascend with his dead body the funeral pyre. No? You have heard about this. But there is an instance where devoted or Krishna conscious bhakti women, they're instructing their husband. What could that be? Their husband's plural. The Yajnapatis. The husbands said, you cannot meet this boy alone in the forest. This is against Vedic civilization. even according to the law of Moses, someone who would leave the husband for someone else had to be publicly stoned.
Do you know what this is?
Öffentlich gesteinigt. The laws of the old times were so hard, Krishna Prana, on women. But here we find that against the express Verbot, wie sagt man das in Englisch? Verbot, expressive order, the strict order of their husbands to not go and see Krishna in the forest. They went and they took all the food which was in the house. They burned under the refrigerators in modern context. And they brought this to Krishna. The husband said, stop here at the border of the village. And the women said, you don't own us. The husband again tried. Then the women used a strategy. Man sagt es, Hilfstechnik im Nahkampf. That is, they didn't stay in one place, but each one ran in another place. And then it's very difficult to stop the parade, you know. And then to Krishna. And when they reached, when they had offered the prasad to Krishna, Krishna said, now you have come here, now please go home. The Yagapati said, there is no home for us, our husbands will kill us now. This is Ehebrecher, you know, it's a strong law which was all over the ancient times in Palestine, you know. Krishna said, when you return, you will see they will worship your husband. Even the devatas who are called through the yajna will come out of the fires and worship you. You will see. We don't care. We want to be with you. Krishna said, you and me will not be separated. It is not appropriate if a married lady stay with another in the forest. But you and me will not be separated, even if you return. And whenever you think of me, you will see me. Just see. And the women understood Krishna wants them to return, so that was clear. They returned. But they started to think of Krishna, and all of a sudden they saw not one Krishna, they saw Krishna everywhere, and they were in ecstasy. And when they returned, their husbands were very remorseful, and they said, to hell with our strict observance of Vedic etiquette. Our wives are our gurus. They have shown us that bhakti is more important and superior to all these very laws. And they wanted to actually go to Krishna immediately, but because they knew there were some spies of Kamsa watching them all the time, they didn't have enough courage to go to Krishna. And that gave them further pain, because their wives had enough courage. They knew even to go to Krishna could mean their death. But they didn't care, they had so much love. Krishna saw the helplessness of the brahmanas later, and as Kavi Kanapur described, when it was time, 2 weeks before the big Indra Puja, which became the great, what puja? Govardhan Puja. He came to the village of the brahmanas who were preparing the puja and stayed for 2 weeks with Balaram to satisfy the desire of these still weak-hearted new bhaktas, the brahmanas. So the reversal of roles, which shows that when there is bhakti, everything has to be seen new. ladies have to be seen new, children have to be seen new, kings have to be seen new, and even demons have to be seen in a new light if they have secretly bhakti in their heart. Srila Shetha Swami says that the Bhagavatam is special because of one particular pastime. The pastime where one demon called Vritasura expressed his devotion. That Bhagavatam, you can recognize the Bhagavatam because of having this pastime. By the way, it has placed this pastime strategically in the middle of the Bhagavatam. It's in the sixth canto, at the end of the sixth canto. You are familiar with this. Now, in all this pastime is discussed in other Vedic scriptures as well, the Rig Veda, which is a glorification of Indra, King Indra, or Lord Indra. He is celebrated because he was victorious over Vritasura. But in the Bhagavatam, it is seen that Vritasura is victorious over Indra, and Indra acknowledges his defeat because he sees Vritasura is a greater bhakta than him. Briefly, there was a great demon called Vritasura who was ruling the universe, the Devatas. Organized a huge campaign against him and then went to war. But this demon fought so skillfully that he again and again defeated the military advances of the Devatas. Finally, Indra sat at a place. He was morose. He could not imagine how he could get this demon and conquer him. Vritasura took the chance and came to Indra without Indra's army seeing him and encouraged him, "You have a duty to fight. You are the king of the universe. Now don't give in to this weakness. And you must know one thing. You think you are the king who cannot now win this battle, but it is meant by Krishna, by the Lord's order, that the demonic rule is destroyed, and the Lord's will come pass. It will come through because all of us, on whatever side we are fighting in life, are only instruments in the hands of the Lord." It's just like chess figures. He gave an example, who are on a chess board, and one person plays chess. He moves the black figures and the white figures equally, and he will decide who wins, black or white, in that chess game. In the same way, we are only moved by the hands of the Lord. There's only one mover, not two movers. Christians would, I don't know if they would agree with this, because they have created a counter mover, the Lucifer, the fallen angel, you may know. But I think in the end he also always loses before the power of God, isn't it, ultimately? But sometimes, as far as we are concerned, there's only one controller. So then Indra fought with Vritasura. At the end of the fight, Vritasura just swallowed him, including Airavata. This is the end. Almost, not fully. Vritasura then thought, I'm too fast. It's because of the butter of Nirjala Ekadasi. Vritasura had said some beautiful prayers. I want to read this prayer to you, where you can see how devoted he was. Someone knows the verse? Index of Sanskrit verses. Harita Vabadai Kanula. 1124. We have it. 12. He had prayed. Harita Vabadai Kanula Dasanudaso Bhavitas Miguya. Please say, I have to chant it before you. Aham Haritava, Aham Haritava, Padaika Mula,
Padaika Mula,
Dasanudaso,
Dasanudaso,
Bhavitasmi Bhuya,
Bhavitasmi Bhuya,
Manasmaritasu,
Manasmarita
Subhate Gunamste
Bhate Gunamste
Grinita Vakarma
Grinita Vakarma
Karo Tukaya
Karo Tukaya.
Oh my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. He says, I'm here. I want to join your eternal servants in the spiritual world who only take shelter at your lotus feet. And I beg for the benediction that my words and my mind and my body may only be engaged in your service. I don't want to be a slave of this world and of Maya any longer. Very Krishna conscious prayer. No? Very Krishna conscious. And when he had swallowed Indra, he thought, this is the end of this fight. And he went to a devotional trance, gave up his body, and returned back home, back to Godhead. Indra, who was not yet dead, could now take all his mystic shakti and come out of the abdomen, pierced through, and then he took a thunderbolt with tears in his eyes and began to try to cut the head of Vritasura off his shoulders. But because he was in trance, his neck was so stiff that it took 100 years before the thunderbolt was successful. The Bhagavatam speaks of this time duration. Vishwanath Chakravarti has explained that because he was entered a trance and left the body, that's why the body was so stiff and it took so much time for the surgery to be successful. So Indra then understood, I may have won this fight. Vritasura has won the battle of life because he has gone back home, back to Godhead. I will return and will be said, celebrated as he who has slain the demon. But in reality, Vritasura has conquered me, who am still so attached to material position and fame and all of this. And he clearly understood the greatness. Now, because the Bhagavatam has this perspective, that bhakti is the greatest. A child can become greater than the father when he is full of bhakti. A king can become greater than a brahmana if he is a devotee. The wives are no longer subordinate to the husbands if there are devotees and the husbands are not. And even a so-called demon who has bhakti in his heart is becoming more glorified than Indra, the king of the universe, who in other Vedic scriptures where bhakti is not the central focus is glorified with the same episode which the Bhagavatam takes to discredit Indra and glorify Vritasura, the factor. You understand? It's a different perspective. It's a different perspective. I was once explaining this when someone attacked the Hare Krishna movement by saying, all you members are really not material successes, and therefore this movement is not good. You are disempowering your members by telling them in the best time to join ashrams and so on and so forth. And I said, well, it depends on what, with what perspective you look. And I asked, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a good Christian, I think. But then imagine if Jesus would come to New York riding on a donkey, would he be worse off of the businessman who goes in a beautiful BMW? It's not, it's a German car, but they drive BMWs all over. Would Jesus be considered low class, like a beggar on the bus terminal who stops everyone with his toothless mouth saying, give me a pen? Would he be in the same category and therefore not as qualified than a man who owns an condominium, it's called, an apartment in one of the skyscrapers? No. He has different values. Renunciation of material wealth is one of his. When he said, it's more likely that a camel passes through the eye of a needle, then if a materially attached person can go back to the paradise or the heavens, it's not possible for someone who remains materially attached. We have to see what is our criterion, and the Bhagavatam's criterion is bhakti. Lord Chaitanya takes up this pure teaching and he says, my Lord, without prema, without love, without bhakti, my life is useless. It is useless, whatever is done. It has no value. He says this on the strength that bhakti and devotion is the goal of human life, not material aims and purposes. And I'm feeling when we enter this area of Braj Katha, and once again I must thank you. You have given some nectar into my eyes, ears today, Mangala, with your nice presentation of one particularly sweet and surprising pastimes of our Lord. It's very important that we understand this pastime, like all other pastimes in Vrindavan, take place in the arena of love, of bhakti, which is the highest criterion which the Bhagavatam uses to all of us. I've just come from Croatia, and it was a very demanding situation. Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj and myself therefore decided to join again together, like we did in the old times when we were a preaching team. And my understanding, and according to the testimonies of the devotees and the amazing feedback which we got, it really raised the platform, the consciousness. And one of my messages to the devotees was, you have to decide what is the perspective with which you look at the world, because the world will respond to you according to your perspective. We in ISKCON always say, we can say a glass is half full or it is half empty. No? When someone gives you a glass of water to drink, not today, but if you, on other days, if you are in one type of consciousness, you say, why did you only give me half a glass? Don't you have any respect for me? You gave Munishvara Hari a full glass. You can complain and be morose, but you can say, oh, wow, how did you know that I'm thirsty? Yeah, this is half full. Like, oh my God, I thought there's no water in this temple left, but it is. You get. So I told the devotees, this. And it was after Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj told something. He had read in one God brother's book, this God brother's memories of Srila Prabhupada. God brother wrote that he was personally initiated by Srila Prabhupada in the inner court of the Krishna Balaram temple. It was full. Everyone had come, also one mother with her child, and as the pujari was pouring the ghee into the fire, chanting Swaha, he looked in the face of Prabhupada and was very happy to receive very soon his initiation. All of a sudden Prabhupada yelled, stop! Pujari was just chanting his mantras. Prabhupada meant the pujari, stop! Immediately stop! one child has polluted the yajna. Prabhupada's eyes went to a child who had eaten in his face with men, that the arena was now no longer ritually pure. Then, in the narration, then Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj told the pastime up to here. Then he said, "For me, that showed that Prabhupada valued the child as a complete participant of the yajna. He valued the value of this person, and therefore requested that he also be clean for the yajna. Mother went." So this is how I understand it. My godbrother, who had written it, I came later to Maharaj. Is that the version of that godbrother? He glanced at the ground, Maharaj, and said, "That is my own version." The godbrother might, as far as I know him, he must have surely used this to show that women and children are bad and should be not allowed to come to such sacred events. For Maharaji, it was a sign how much value Prabhupada gave to this individual child, how he was as a fully grown up person. So I said to the devotees, we were just in the Zagreb airport, what is right and what is wrong? You must decide. You choose, I said, not decide, you choose. For instance, I could say, this airport is full of Maya. Look, there's alcohol. So, then there's this, the prices are too high for the tickets. And people are here to go to the next destinations in sense gratification. And if you would search very carefully, you might maybe find a half-naked picture of a woman who's there for advertisement purposes. I could also say, wow, this is the Krishna. Should we stand here? We are talking about Krishna conscious subject matters. Everyone here is indirectly or directly searching for Krishna. When I said this, the woman from the check-in counter came and said, listen to me. She was interested in Krishna consciousness. Your bag always comes back from we could give you trouble, but I don't want this because I see you are a devotee of the Lord. You are a monk. Can you just tell me what is inside? We save you a lot of trouble to go through police protocol and everything. I said, I'm an old man. I have to do some exercise. There are two hunters. That means I'm an hunter in English. Race, yes. Well, and I thought, thank you. I will say this, and it's all right. We will check this through to Bernard Taylor, no problem. Honestly, no problem. I'm saying there's no problem. I'm a person of integrity, at least when I deal with monks. And then I said, look, this was Krishna's arrangement. Now I can catch my flight very easily, no entanglement with my weights, and so on. And I told the devotees more and more examples how Krishna is there. And I said in the Gita, 6th chapter, that we find one who sees me everywhere, and everything in me is never separated. So I can say this world is, I only see Maya. I am right, I will only see Maya with this perspective. It's absolutely correct. Or I could say, Krishna is everywhere. I'm also right. You have to see where you will engage your mind, and that will become your reality, and it will become strong. I told this to the devotees, especially in the light of the discussions where there were two sides, and they all concentrated on the bad qualities of the other side. But I said, we can also see that there are devotees who are trying their best, and we can just manage it in such a way that everyone has their turf, turf means their area in which they do their service, and then this is more how Prabhupada would deal in such situations and not fight amongst ourselves. This was one of my messages. We can see this way or that way. So I feel this, if we want to learn to look with a spiritual perspective into the world, and we want to see, and we want to grow in a spiritual way, then we have to read, in my humble opinion, the Bhagavatam, which will inform you consistently, chapter after chapter, about the tremendous value of bhakti over other values. It will, in the words of the Bhagavatam, direct you from a misdirected goal of life, that is a material goal, to spiritual. Just by reading the Bhagavatam, it is passive spirituality. It will come to you. It will, after some time, reading every day, it must be a sadhana bhavani. At least even when we have lots to do, you can read one verse or half a verse, but you must be in contact with that perspective. And then one day you will wake up and see it like that. And you will say about your past, "Oh, that was an old photo." I want to end by telling you a witz, because we have fasted all day and was ist das Leben ohne richtige Witze. And a policeman comes to a cabrio. It's an open cabrio. Ich meine ein
convertible.
A convertible in English. You know, where you can put the roof back and then you sit and then the air comes and your seat is in the air. yes, I heard it's a car. So an open car. It cooks me so it's glad, ne? And he sees the driver. The driver is extremely jolly and happy, has big sunglasses on, and somehow the policeman says, This is different. Let me better check his papers. So he asks, "Can you give me your papers?" The driver gives him the paper and papers with a picture. And the policeman looks on the picture. It's the picture of a caterpillar unraveled. And he looks at the driver. He's a butterfly. And the driver notices his irritation at last. "That's no picture." "That's no picture." "This is no butterfly with glasses driving." "That's an old picture." By reading the Bhagavatam, you will one day laugh about your life, because you have a different perspective, and you would say, "Oh, that life, that is an old life, that was my material life when I was not seeing things with a spiritual perspective." And you would say, that's an old picture. That is past now. How do you like the bits? Wer hat was, ne? I want to put this in my, maybe when I open a new way. I don't know, but maybe it's better. that tension out of my mind. Okay, I feel it's so good. Dobro. Good. This is what I wanted to express. And when you approach Krishna Katha, please, I request you, do not see that with the material perspective, because it's different. It's on the arena, it's on the level of bhakti, prema bhakti, mahap, it has different names, it can only be understood from this perspective. And Krishna heard this, learned this in Prema Samputa from Srimati Radharani. Then you will understand everything respectfully. You will not make mistakes of mistaking it with the ways of men and women in this world. And you will be very much benefited. And material nature and its influence will finally step back and leave you alone. Hare Krishna. But I feel the entry really to this is the Bhagavatam and reading through the cantos of the Bhagavatam so that you imbibe the bhakti perspective. And I'm saying this to you because, my dear devotees, I had been for a long time, my first great change in my own spiritual life was when I understood that I will need divine mercy to move forward in my life. And when I looked where I will get it, it was clear for me, the holy name. And I've been chanting the holy name and writing about it, and organizing events and serving somehow the spreading of the holy name in whatever small capacity I can do. Recently, over the recent years, I have discovered that this is not sufficient. You need to equally put emphasis on the Bhagavatam. This is in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spirituality. He was very, very much talking about the Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam, ultimately means you're meeting the Lord in the literary form. That's why the first canto is the feet of the Lord, and the tenth canto is the smile of the Lord. It's the whole personality of the Lord. And as you read or study the Bhagavatam and serve the Bhagavatam, and serve also those who are preaching the Bhagavatam, that Lord will become manifest in your heart. I really request you to take this seriously. I have also a lot to do, please believe me. And I know there's a time challenge, but you will find time for everything which you feel is important. And this is important. It is only 10 minutes or so, 3 verses a day. It's not much more. Please read the Bhagavatam. It will help you greatly to develop the much needed spiritual perspective. Hare Krishna. So let us see now. I have finished. Would you like to ask questions? Or let me turn to Sadashiva. Was machen wir noch? Oder
ja, oder meinte, vielleicht noch eine Arte, kann man markiert haben? Oder?
Kurz, ja, finde ich, ist auch gut, oder? Für den Herrn, also ich glaube, um 7 Uhr ist das so?
Ja, können wir eigentlich die Gora-Arte sehen.
Wie viel ist es jetzt?
5
Uhr. Ja, gut, alles. Habt ihr irgendwelche Fragen? Möchtet ihr irgendetwas sagen? Wenn die uns verbleiben, in 5 Minuten kommen würden, können wir noch kurz. Also kam das rüber mit dieser Perspektive, nicht, die wir so brauchen. Also man, es ist wirklich mal, ich habe das so, will you give me your permission to speak two words in German language? Gut. Ich habe das wirklich gesehen, als ich da war. Also es war für mich wirklich eine unglaublich lehrreiche Erfahrung, wie die Bodhis, die auf unterschiedlichen Seiten waren, unterschiedliche Perspektiven einnahmen, und wenn man sich die Mühe machte, in deren Perspektive zu gehen, hat man es auch genauso sehen können. Kennt ihr diese Situation? Also ich kenne das bei mir, weil ich ein Wassermann bin. Das Wassermann sind so wie Wasser, die fließen überall rein in jedes Gefäß, nicht? Und können das dann kurz füllen mit ihrem Verständnis und dann auch weitergehen natürlich und sich lösen. Und mir wurde so klar, wir müssen sehen, mit welcher Perspektive wir die Wirklichkeit sehen. Weil die Wirklichkeit ist nicht eine Sache. Und damit alle Lebewesen in dieser Welt aufgenommen werden können, müssen die ihr verschiedene Levels haben, nicht? Wo die unterbringen können, in dem, wo die unterkommen, nicht? Entsprechend ihre Entwicklung sozusagen im Leben. Du kannst deswegen nicht immer sagen, dies ist richtig oder das ist falsch. Du kannst nur sagen, wenn wir diese Perspektive annehmen oder wenn wir diesen Maßstab anwenden, ist das so. Ne? Und wir müssen sehen, was der höchste Maßstab ist. Und der höchste Maßstab für uns als Bhaktas ist wirklich Bhakti. Ne? Also wir schauen so. Ja, Sarashi.
Aber läuft man dabei nicht ein bisschen Gefahr, in so einen Relativismus zu verfallen, wenn man sagt, na, es ist alles okay, weil man versucht schon, die Perspektive des anderen zu verstehen, auch die Bedingtheiten und die Talente, das Gute und das Schlechte. Aber dann kann es ja schon passieren, dass man sagt, naja, alles ist okay. Gibt es irgendwo schon noch Richtlinien für uns, an denen wir uns orientieren können, wo wir sagen können, na, das ist eigentlich der Standard und das ist okay, davon abzuweichen, aber es gibt trotzdem einen Standard? Oder?
Ich möchte zwei Dinge sagen. Natürlich, ich sehe, dass dir als Tempelpräsident das natürlich ein wichtiges Bedürfnis ist, zu sehen, wie geht man denn jetzt. Wir haben Standards, die Shastras, Guru, Sadhu und Shastra, das sind wirklich Guidelines für uns und so weiter. Und natürlich werden die nicht gegenüber den Dharma-Shastras also die werden das im Einklang machen. Deswegen hat ja Krishna letztendlich auch die Yajnapatis nach Hause geschickt. Wisst ihr das? Naja. Die haben gesagt, gut, wenn das sozial nicht geht, dass wir alle um dich herum immer sind, dann lass uns einfach im Wald warten und dann sind wir so im Wald und sehen dich von der Ferne und nehmen die zerbrochenen Tulsi-Blätter und von deinen Lotusfüßen und tun sie uns absagen. Aber auch das wäre nicht, ne? Nein, geht nach Hause. Ich werde euch beschützen dort. Eure Eheleute werden sehen, wie Bhakti ist. Also auch Krishna richtet sich in dieser Welt nach diesen Dharma-Gesetzen. Ne? Das ist sehr wichtig. Nein, ich spreche im Kontext von der Vorlesung darüber, wie also hier die Rollen manchmal, die Dharma-Gesetze manchmal geswitcht werden. Wie Krishna auch sagt, gibt diese Dharma-Gesetze von der einen Ebene auf, Savadharma Parichaya, Mangikam Sharanam Vraja, und dann gebt euch also hin. Krishna ist dafür bekannt, als Krishna Pastime ist dafür bekannt, so sehen Sie jedenfalls die Bhaktas, diesen Bhakti-Punkt als das Höchste zu machen. Und das ist das eine, das ist die offensichtliche Antwort, aber es ist wichtig, dass es gesagt wird. Andere Antwort ist auch zu den anderen zu verstehen, heißt nicht, dass ich agree mit ihm. Nicht überhaupt. Also, ich sehe, ich kann einfach sagen, das sehe ich jetzt anders, oder das ist jetzt anders. Aber ich kann sehen, und darin sehe ich die Größe der vedischen Kultur und auch die Größe von echten Sadhus, dass man für das dann einen Platz findet, sodass es eben doch irgendwie möglich ist und irgendwie der Gedanke der Evolution darin stattfinden kann. Nicht? Also das war ein Riesenproblem zum Beispiel für in einer Zeit, einmal wird die Bewegung fast zerbrochen anhand der Renunciation-Frage. Als die Sannyasis anfingen, sich so schlecht über die Grihasthas und ihre Lebensweise zu auszulassen. Und Prabhupada hat das dann zusammenflicken müssen. Nicht? Weil es gibt immer für unterschiedliche Menschen unterschiedliche Ebenen der Beschäftigung, wo die eben auch Fortschritt machen. Das ist diese Größe, die wir auch entwickeln müssen. Es gibt für alle Menschen, die sich natürlich an einem bestimmten Rahmen, den dharmischen Rahmen, für die unterschiedlichen Menschen halten. Das ist ein interessantes Thema, glaube ich, auch für dich, der du ja auch Politwissenschaften studiert hast.
Ja. Und würdest du sagen, dass diese menschliche Reife, die das ja letztendlich voraussetzt, dass man in der Lage ist, Ort, Zeit und Umstände zu erkennen, dass das ein Nebenprodukt von Bhakti ist? Also wenn man wirklich versucht, ernsthaft Bhakti zu kultivieren, dass das dann mitkommt? Oder ist das was, was man separat versuchen sollte zu kultivieren oder sich darüber Gedanken zu machen?
Also nach dem Bhagavatam ist es so, dass sich in einem Devotee nach und nach alle guten Eigenschaften der Devatas entwickelt, also durch Bhakti. Ich bin, natürlich, wir können euch gar nichts anderes sagen als das, aber es ist auch noch mehr dazu gesagt worden. Bhakti, was ich sehr wichtig empfinde, Sarashiva, und was ich in der Entwicklung des vedischen Weges, ich musste so wirklich schwer nachdenken, was werde ich bei dem Social Wellbeing, also der Krone des Lebensbaumes, als entscheidendsten Wert nehmen. Und bin dann drauf durch ein Statement von Bhakti Vinod auf das gekommen, war ich total. Er sagte, das Hauptdharma eines Vaishnavas in dieser Welt, also jetzt mit Dharma ist, was tue ich nicht in Bezug auf Krishna, sondern auf diese Welt, ist Daya. Compassion zu entwickeln. Nun, wir übersetzen so da ja so ein bisschen wie Misericordio, Mitleid, nicht? Aber auch in Deutsch ja. Aber daher hat unbedingt, das habe ich feststellen müssen, einen wichtigen Precursor, Empathie. Das ist so wichtig. Das hat selbst Obama erkannt. Obama sagte, wir sprechen über Financial Deficits und was wir alle aufholen müssen. Aber im Grunde leidet unsere Nation unter einem Empathiedefizit. Ich sehe das auch, selbst in der ISKCON ist das ein Riesenproblem, weil jeder, der etwas anders macht, du brauchst nur anders auszusehen. Und du hast schon Leute, die einfach dich dafür kritisieren werden. Speaking of her, some people think you can judge a person according to their hair. Also, we have two devotees here who will have had discussions about this in their lives. Ne? So, empathy heißt, ich muss mich, das ist sehr wichtig, weil wenn ich nur Compassion habe, Mitleid, dann handle ich vielleicht in einer Weise, wie der das gar nicht braucht. Nicht wie bei unserer Witwenspeisung. Da haben wir Europäer, viele Leute gehen an der Witwenspeisung Teil in also in Radakun, da haben wir dann zwei Leute gehabt und die haben dann den Witwen gespeist und mit der Kelle haben sie dann auf das die Auschenkelle auf das Muchi Plate gebrüht und die Witwen alle Muchi und sind aufgestanden und weggegangen, nicht? Weil in ihrer Kultur geht das nicht, das muss alles sauber und brahminisch und so weiter, nicht? Und die Westler haben einen Neffen zusammen Bruch gekriegt, als man ihm gesagt hat, es reicht nicht einfach Mitgefühl, du musst auch Empathie haben, wie denken diese Leute, wie fühlen die, wenn du ihnen wirklich helfen willst. So, das ist für uns als Vaishnava ist sehr interessant. The main Dharma of a Vaishnava, ich kann dir das zeigen in Jaiva Dharma von Bhakti Vinod Thakur, ist to show compassion. Schon mal gehört? Wie sind unsere, was sagt Gauranga Mahaprabhu dazu? Nama Ruchi, Vaishnav Seva und
Jivadana.
Ihr wisst alles. Das ist ein wichtiger Punkt. Das ist nicht ein Nebenpunkt. Einer von drei wichtigen Punkten ist das für uns. Und ich denke, ehrlich gesagt, Sadashiva, dass Bhakti, ja, aber du kannst eben auch Bhakti, du kannst lange Bhakti machen und du kommst da nicht so hin. Du kannst nur das Äußerliche so machen. I want to tell you a story about misplaced Bhakti, how you can cheat yourself. There was a priest coming into the temple and praying to the Lord, and he saw a poor man before him also praying to the Lord with tears in his eyes. And he could see from the cloth of the poor man that most probably had just been in a fight, street fight. It was ripped the way it is ripped when you are fighting, you know. And the priest said, "My Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm not like this man before me. I am a very religious. I know the Shastras. I do regular puja. I'm so grateful to you." Poor man prayed, "My Lord, I just did something foolish. I know this will be the last time. Please, I know I don't deserve it, but give me your mercy." At the end of the life, they both came to the gates of Vaikuntha. Poor man was shown the way. "Come, go, you can meet the Lord." The priest, who had even become more arrogant, I know, and had never asked for the mercy. But everything, he had a seeker, he had the right dress. Man, his dress was so good. So bhakti, you know, like you Hare Krishna Rams do, you know. And he read all the scriptures, he knew Sanskrit. But he was unfortunately cheating himself. He didn't pray for the man. He said, "Ah, so good that I'm good. I'm better than the Khanis, you know. Oh, let's come. Let's come, Mies. Penny Mill." And so on. And Hare Krishna. I think this daya and empathy is an important quality in relationship to the world. Again, it doesn't mean to agree. It just means to see what can be done for the benefit of another one, which can actually help him. Hare Krishna. Ja, oh mein Gott, jetzt. Na, aber das ist schön, dass wir so diese Dinge diskutieren und das sind ja wichtige Dinge. Dann würde ich sagen, lasst uns vielleicht jetzt als Abschluss von jemandem oder Abschluss des Abends ein Kirtan für Lord Jagannath machen, wo wir unser Bestes geben. Hast du auch? können wir sogar ein Lichtchen, ganz dünn Lichtchen, aber wir machen es gut. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.